when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Hey, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there that make this broadcast on the air and to make it possible that we can broadcast. I would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And dear people, today is getting close to the end of July. It is July the 22nd in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty. We always say it, we always will say it, that there's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That's it. People, you're listening to Blood River Radio, just in case somebody just tuned in accidentally, didn't know who they're listening to. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we are the only radio broadcast I know in the world that's dedicated ourselves solely to one purpose, and that's defeating the ongoing program of global white genocide that's been going on for a long time. It really has really picked up speed. So that's what we're here for, our one and only purpose, to defeat those satanic bastards like old Biscuit down in Florida says. He calls them the Jews. He calls them the devil's officer corps. So that's what we're here for. We're here to defeat them. And people, as you know, this is a Christian show, a Christian broadcast, excuse me. And we have one of the greatest people I know that could possibly lead the prayer. He's my brother, your friend, our friend, Dr. Michael Hill. He is the chief officer. He's the head honcho of the League of the South. He would be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs if you were in the military. Dear Dr. Hill, how are you doing tonight, brother?
Eddie, I'm doing fine. Good to be on the show again.
Great to have you on. Dr. Hill, as you well know, you know better than I do, this is a Christian broadcast, and we always load out with a prayer. And we always get the leader to lead the prayer. And said, Dr. Hill, since you are the leader, if you will, sir, please say the prayer.
All right, I certainly will. All right, let's pray, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day. And we thank you for your great mercies to us as your people. We pray that you'll give us strength and courage to do the work set before us. We pray that you will give us victory over the evil that we face in this world. We pray that you will give us the things we need to be your good and faithful servants. And we pray now that you will give us victory over our enemies and yours. Use our words during this broadcast today to further your kingdom on this earth. And we pray this in the only name by which we can be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Hill, I'd like to read this. This is from a fallen young soldier. He was a soldier. Dear Nancy Hill sent this to us. I'm going to convert this into a prayer one of these days, I think. He was a soldier. He died in Rhodesia. He was only, I think, 21, 22 years old when he died. He was a resident of Ohio. But this is what he wrote in his journal.
I know who he is. I know who the guy is,
Bless you. Bless you. This was in his journal. Sister Nancy said, and I'm not bragging, she said, this prayer reminded her of me. But this is a great young man. He says, here's what he says, and I'll make this brief. I want to be a soldier, a warrior, a crusader for my God and country, and to fight the hell-inspired enemy that would crush every delicate and beautiful creation of this world. I want to be a free man, the master of my own destiny, not a pawn of usurpers and traitors who manipulate the masses into subservience. I want to do God's will and fulfill the purpose of my creation. Peace will not come until war is taken to the enemy and he learns the fighting superiority of the European, the Western man over the barbarian. That was dated 29 October 1972. I thought that was
John Allen Coe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thought that would fit into the prayer really well, Dr. Hill. Well, folks, I'm a little bit under the weather.
It certainly does.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a little bit jumpy tonight, folks. I had a little cardiac incident earlier today, and so I'm leaning heavily on our people, like the good Dr. Hill, our co-host in the second hour. So if you will, Dr. Hill, just lead us off and let everybody know what we're going to be talking about.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you and James Edwards, who is the host of the Political Cesspool broadcast, both of y'all for being at the League of the South summer meeting and Dixie Fest in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, a couple of weekends ago. We had a great turnout there. We had a great time. And obviously, the most important things that happened were the broadcast of Blood River Radio and the Political Cesspool. And had a great time. I saw a lot of really good folks that I haven't seen in a long time, and met some new ones, particularly some young folks. We'll have the videos of the speeches. We had Mark Tommy, who is a fairly regular guest on your show, Sam Dixon, the great white nationalist attorney from Atlanta, and Patrick Martin of Identity Dixie, and yours truly, we were the speakers. And those videos of the speeches ought to be coming out here pretty soon, and we'll get them up online somewhere, let you know where they are. And we're having our fall league meeting on the weekend of November the 3rd and 4th in Tennessee, and I'll be giving out details of that as we get closer to the date, about exactly where it is, where you can get accommodations, and who's going to be speaking and stuff like that. But for right now, just mark your calendars, the 3rd and the 4th of November. We'll actually only be doing it on the 4th, but most people probably want to get in on the 3rd so we can have a little time to relax and socialize. But anyhow, you know, having put that behind us, one of the things that you and I were talking about before we came on the air today was, while we may not be Trump supporters, and I certainly would not classify myself as one, but nonetheless, what's going on with him right now is, I think, very instructive, and I think there are some great lessons that we can learn as white and Southern nationalists from watching how the left, the communist left, is treating this man. Even though he may not be one of us, they treat him as if he is our representative. He is kind of the whipping boy, if you will, for whites in general, and particularly white, I hate to use the term conservatives, because that really doesn't mean much anymore, but I think people will get what I'm talking about here. He is the one that they're going after right now, and I think there is some truth to the fact that when he says that you know, they're just trying to come through me to get to you. I think that is true. I think this is just another action in the campaign of white genocide that's going on around the world. And I think the United States right now is kind of ground zero in that battle. Not to say that Europe and other white countries around the world, such as Canada and New Zealand, Australia, et cetera, are not important, but ground zero in this fight is, and I think always has been and will be, the United States. And I think eventually it will focus on the South, because that's where the most pushback against white genocide, I think, is going to come from. There's all these Southerners out there, and their allies in the Midwest and the Mountain West, places like that. But, you know, this thing that's going on with Trump right now, I mean, how many times has he been indicted now so far? 3-4 times? And it's not over. At least. I mean, they're gonna continue throwing things at him until they get something that sticks. And if they can get it, get these indictments and get him to trial in some of these blue states, or particularly blue cities like Atlanta or D.C. or somewhere like that, then I think that he's going to be convicted. And if he's convicted, it depends on what the who the judge is as to what kind of sentences he'll get, and obviously what he's convicted for. But I think they're coming after him, as they say, with both barrels blazing. And as I said a moment ago, I think, you know, they're going through him to get to whites in general. Because of that, I think whites, I'm not saying that whites ought to be Trump supporters, but I think we ought to watch this as carefully as we can and see what's going on, because I think that we'll know some things between now and the 2024 election that we maybe are not so clear on at this moment. Those things will become a good deal clearer to us. I don't think that there's any doubt, in the minds of average people out there, white folks in particular, that there were some tremendous irregularities in the 2020 presidential election and the 2022 off-year election. So when we come back, I hear the music, we'll look into that a little bit and what it means for 2024.
Folks, Dr. Hill is right. We'll be right back after this quick break.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, Dr. Hill's going to come back and tell y'all some stuff. I promise you, he's not making this up. I know it sounds like it's something that would come out of Memphis Mental Health Institute, or Bolivar, who's another mental institution in State Tennessee, but it's not. These Democrats are actually doing the stuff that he's getting ready to tell you about. Go ahead, Dr. Hill. Continue on, if you will, brother.
Yeah, I will. As I was saying before the break there, they are kind of throwing the book at Trump, trying to get something to stick on him here. Some of the charges they're bringing against him are very obscure. Some of them are based on the idea of conspiracy going all the way back to the 1871 anti-Klan act that Congress passed and that has been adjudicated. There's been adjudication from that law, but not much. So they're going back and trying to resurrect some old anti-Klan statutes of conspiracy against Trump, as well as accusing him of trying to defraud the U.S. government and to do all sorts of things by challenging the results of the 2020 election. Now, it would seem to me that if you were a candidate in the 2020 election and you are convinced that you were defrauded and you have some evidence that you're willing to put out there, that they wouldn't be able to come after you because you were simply trying to defend yourself and your position as a candidate in an election that you believed, and I believe rightly so, of course, that he was defrauded out of. But nonetheless, here's basically what the Democrats have done. They said, okay, we may have cheated, but you can't prove it. And if you try to prove it, then we're going to persecute you by prosecuting you under these obscure laws. And besides that, we will prosecute any of your followers who tried to help you in this endeavor. And the latest on that is the fact that there were, I think, 14 electors in Michigan who have now been brought up on charges by that state's attorney general on being fraudulent electors supporting Trump in the election. And these people are mostly in their 60s, 70s, and some of them even in their 80s. And these people risk going to prison for the rest of their lives for trying to help Donald Trump in what he considered to be a fraudulent election. This is more than likely going to happen in Georgia as well, when we see what that Georgia Attorney General down there, Ms. Willis, brings against Trump. And it's probably, so I've heard, going to happen in Arizona as well. So they're going after not only Trump, but anybody who has supported him in any way that these people can twist and turn the law to use to prosecute these people. So it's not just Trump, although he is the head honcho here, as we might say, but it's going to be those people who supported him in some active way. And I think the purpose of this is to destroy the MAGA movement, M-A-G-A, Make America Great Again, of course. And, you know, the mainstream Republican Party is probably going to be complicit in it. I think what we're seeing here now on the political stage in America is dissolution of the Republican Party. The mainstream, or the GOP-E, as it's called, GOP establishment, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, et cetera, they are going to do all they can, without seeming to do so, by the way, to drive Trump out of politics and probably to prison. And, of course, the Democrats are going to be doing it out front without any apologies, but I think behind the scenes the Republican establishment will be doing the same thing. And then that leaves the rest of the Republicans, the Republican rank and file, as you might call them, which are more and more identifying themselves with Trump and MAGA. And this is a very volatile situation, Eddie, because,
yes,
you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when they throw their man in prison? And I think that's a very, very likely scenario. Taking into account who the judges are and the prosecuting attorneys are in these cases against Trump, where the jury pool is likely to be selected from. And it just seems to me that it's pretty much a done deal that Trump is going to be convicted and sentenced, and probably on some very serious charges. Jack Smith, for example, is bringing up charges against Trump for the J6 stuff going on right now. And the two things that are not yet on the table, but a lot of leftists believe that Smith will bring against Trump, is a charge of insurrection and a charge of treason. And if that is the case, you have thrown down the gauntlet to probably, conservative estimate, 75 to 80 million ardent Trump supporters, and yes, probably in truth over 100 million. What are these people going to do? They're going to sit by and say, oh, well, our man's been railroaded into prison, so I guess we'll just have to find another man or just kind of give up. Hell no, they're not going to do that. I don't know what they're going to do, but I can guarantee you this. They're not just going to sit by and watch their man be persecuted like this and railroaded, in their mind anyway, into prison over something that, in truth, the Democrats themselves are probably guilty of. I don't think, if you look at the evidence for 2020 and 2022 elections, you're going to see a lot of irregularities on the part of the Democrats. I'm not saying Republicans don't cheat either, because they probably do. But in this case, I think it's beyond a doubt that a lot of this evidence, if it could ever get into court, which it hasn't been able to do yet. I mean, a lot of leftists say, oh, well, these things have been brought up in the legal system, and judges have. No, what's happened is judges refuse to let them be tried. If they were tried and the evidence were produced, I think you would see beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was rampant election fraud, systemic election fraud in 2020 and 2022. But in order to take the focus off of that, they're charging Trump with election fraud, election obstruction, whatever they can get by with, saying that, no, he's the one who was trying to steal an election, by having an insurrection on January the 6th. And trying to put his own electors in there, and so on and so forth. This thing, even for those of us who are not Trump supporters, who are not Republicans, this thing is going to have some major ramifications for politics and society in America, not in the long term, although that is true, but in the short term. I'm talking about between now and November of 2024. No telling what's going to happen between this time and that, and all it's going to take is one spark to set this powder keg off, one catalyst, and who knows who or what that's going to be. And that's why I'm saying, if you've got 75, 80, maybe 100 million people out there who are devoted MAGA followers, Trump supporters, and they start persecuting him and throwing him in prison, somebody out there is going to snap.
I think the
Justice Department, the FBI and all are kind of waiting on that to happen, hoping it does. So they'll have their built-in excuse for coming down hard on all Trump supporters. And my question is to all the MAGA folks out there, is what are you going to do when yes. your movement is declared a domestic terrorist movement? And that is a great possibility.
Boy, Dr. Hill, I tell you, you have laid that out there for anybody can understand it. That's a wonderful job of you laying all this out. I wished I was that good. It's so clear and easy to understand. You mentioned that you think they're trying to destroy the MAGA movement, and I would add the so-called alt-right movement. I consider us not alt-right, but hard right, the hardcore of the hard right. And they're criminals, that the Democratic Party, they're no longer just Marxists and communists. I mean, they're out and out Satanists, in my opinion. But they've shown their hand, Dr. Hill. They're not even trying to cover up the fact that they're criminals. They're committing crime in broad daylight and daring people to do anything about it. My question is, I'm wondering why they've gone this far. Uh-oh. When I come back, I hear the music. Well, as soon as we come back to break, I'll finish this question to the one and only Dr. Hill. Be right back, folks.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Hospitals in Arizona and Nevada have seen an alarming increase in patients affected by first, second, and third degree contact burns. It's all due to the prevailing extreme heat conditions. Dr. Robert Martinez of St. Rose Siena Hospital in Las Vegas telling 8 News Now.
If you go to the pool and you step on the cement, it's probably 140 degrees.
Some of the incidents have resulted in deaths, underscoring the severity of the situation. Recent temperature records have shown triple-digit readings in these regions with no end in sight. North Korea fired several cruise missiles into the Yellow Sea overnight. It is the second such launch this week, as that country remains silent on the whereabouts of an American soldier who fled across the border. Analysts note the missile launches follow North Korea's warnings over the U.S. deploying a nuclear submarine in South Korean coastal waters. The White House is creating a permanent pandemic office. Air Force Major General Paul Friedrichs will lead the Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response beginning August 7th. Friedrichs previously coordinated all health services at the Pentagon, including the military's COVID-19 response. The new office will address potential public health outbreaks and threats from RSV, polio, influenza, Mpox, and more. The Army says one soldier was killed and five others were injured in a tactical vehicle accident at Fort Bliss.
Officials at the base near El Paso, Texas, say the accident happened around 9:30 Friday morning and that the cause of the crash remains under investigation. It's unclear what exactly happened. A public affairs official says more information about the incident will be released in the coming days. Fort Bliss is home to the Army's 1st Armored Division, where about 17,000 soldiers train with tanks, artillery, helicopters, and Bradley fighting vehicles. I'm Brad Siegel.
The dueling blockbusters Barbie and Oppenheimer off to a big start at the box office. Barbie earning $22.3 million so far. Oppenheimer's taken in $10.5 million. This is USA News.
Are you or someone you love struggling with an addiction to drugs or alcohol and want to be set free from the chains of addiction? Then call Addiction Helpline America right now to get the help you need. From drug and alcohol addiction to dual diagnosis treatment, we provide a confidential helpline to help people like you get sober and live happy, substance-free lives.
Treatment helped me get my life back. I was so addicted, the only person I could focus on was myself and what I needed. I hit rock bottom and lost everything. Through treatment, I was able to overcome those demons and focus on my family again.
I used until I overdosed and almost died. That was the end of the road for me. After seeking treatment, I now have hope. I learned skills that help me deal with life on life's terms.
800-932-1745. 800-932-1745. 800-932-1745. That's 800-932-1745.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, if you will, give me a little leeway, because I'm not nearly as eloquent as this college professor and warrior, this Renaissance man that we have on the other end of this microphone, Dr. Michael Hill. Man, what a Renaissance man. I'll do the best I can to ask him a question. Dr. Hill, before we went to the break, he said that, if I got it right, he thinks one of the motives for the satanic, they're not even Democrats anymore, they're Satanists, as well as a lot of the Republicans. We'll talk about that some in probably the third hour. But they're trying to destroy the MAGA movement. And I would also add, they're trying to destroy anybody that's, I would say alt-right, but anybody that's not extreme left of center. And before we went, I asked Dr. Hill, they're committing, being the Satanist Democrats, they're committing crime in broad daylight. They're making up these stupid laws as they go. And during the break, Dr. Hill and I were talking about one law that they're charging the Michigan electors with is uttering and publishing. What they're saying is the fact that these alternate electors, a group of people in Michigan said, we think they verbally said, we think the election was fraudulent. We think it was stolen. And we're not going to sit idly by and let fraudulent electors go and swing this election from, to represent the state of Michigan. So we're going to be the electors. And evidently they signed documents stating the fact that they believe the election was stolen, and that they believe the electors or the original group of electors are fraudulent. It's because they did that, they're being charged with a felony in the state of Michigan. Get this, folks, for uttering and publishing. So, like Dr. Hill more eloquently said than I, it's become a crime, people, to say something, to speak. It's called speech crime. And they also have, you know, publishing crime. So that, in effect, is trying to trying to scare people to death in the United States not to say anything that would displease our satanic, pedophile, drug-dealing masters in Sodom of the Potomac and elsewhere. So, with that statement, I was going to ask Dr. Hill. They've done all this before in the Soviet Union, and probably before that, under a Jewish Bolshevik revolution. It was never a Russian revolution. They've done that, but they went further there, and Mao Zedong went further. Pol Pot did it. They just marched their people, and they went up and shot them in the back of the head. And they marched millions of them in the gulag in Siberia under Lenin and Stalin and killed millions and millions of people. So my question to Dr. Hill is, I guess that's just kind of a two-part question.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Well, that gorilla got it right. The only thing that does matter, folks, is... Oh, he's not... Okay. Thank you. The only thing that matters is raw, merciless force. By the way, people, the reason what happened, we had a an interference with our internet. The entire network went down. So we're up now, thank God. But anyway, as soon as we get Dr. Hill back, I will continue on with the question and the narrative that I had. But meanwhile, I'm going to continue with this. While I was up at Dixon Republic, I talked to some other people, and we have a lot of intellectuals in our movement that are, you know, they can tell you everything about the Constitution. They can tell you volumes of stuff with the Constitution. And I told them, you want to know the truth? Maybe I sound callous, but I don't give a damn about your Constitution. I don't give a damn about the Federalist Papers. I don't care about the anti-Federalist arguments. I don't care about any of that crap. Because you know what? In the end, it's really... I think it's worthless. I think George Bush was right. It's nothing but a GD piece of paper. The only thing that matters, like the gorilla that came on our commercial, the only thing that matters, people, is raw, merciless power. It's who has the biggest guns, the most bayonets, and has the will to use them. That's what law is. Anyway, folks, we're back with Dr. Hill now. And I don't know where I was when we went dead, but I'll go ahead and try to start back. And I think we're getting ready to go to another break in just a minute, but I'll take off. I was saying something like Dr. Hill said that the movement, the Satanists, I don't call them Democrats anymore, and half the damn Republicans are Satanists. But Dr. Hill said that they were trying to, one of their many objectives in prosecuting Trump, to throwing a signal out there, hey, if we can put your president in jail, look what we can do to you. They want to destroy the MAGA movement. I submit to you, they want to destroy the entire, not just alt-right, but anybody that's not extreme, anybody that's not a Satanist, they want to destroy you. And I was asked Dr. Hill in the break a minute ago before we went dead, they're following the template pretty much that we saw in the Stalinist Russia in the 20s and 30s. So, and I was asking Dr. Hill, why have they not taken the final step like they did in the Soviet Union and rounded all of us people up, League of the South, Trump supporters, alt-right folks, Christians, white people, what's keeping them from putting us into the concentration camps and pulling a bullet in our brain and working us to death like they did 66 million white people in the Soviet Union under the Bolshevik communist rule. So, Dr. Hill, what do you think, if you're there, why have they not put a bullet in our head? Is it because the South especially is armed to the teeth? But go ahead, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of it. They know that Americans are armed to the teeth, and they know that there's a large percentage of Americans who have military and law enforcement experience. And there's a lot more of us than there are of them. And I think that number's growing every day. And I think there are a significant number of people out here who have the will to use those weapons if it means protecting their freedoms and their families, if they push it far enough. And you know, I think that they ultimately will try to push it that far, because I think I know these people, and they are, as you pointed out, Satanists, the devil's children. And they're anti-white, they're anti-Christian. The MAGA movement to them is just symbolic. They're going after white folks who basically would be a roadblock, a stumbling block to their vision, which is to kill and slave us all, I think. So I think they'll eventually get around to that. It may be sooner rather than later when they try it, because I think the clock is ticking on these people. I think their game has been exposed. I think they are doing things out in the open now, because that's the quickest way to get them done, in hopes that they can use the Department of Justice, the FBI, the military, whatever elements of force that they have to get their way to cow people. You know, if they do this to Trump, it's like you said, they can do it to anybody, because he's a very powerful man with a lot of resources. But, you know, what happens? What happens in 2024, for example, if the Democrats win? I can guarantee you this, that the Republicans, MAGA, whoever, you know, particularly the MAGA Republicans, are going to say it was a fraudulent election, and it probably will be.
That's a felony to say that.
Biden has that much support. But what happens if by chance MAGA wins and Donald Trump wins? The Democrats are not going to accept the outcome of that election. So what I'm saying is, neither side trusts the other. Neither side is going to see as legitimate the other side winning. They're going to say, no, you cheated to win. You can't have a country when that happens. You simply are beyond the point of having a society that can function. And it's nonsense to think that it could if neither side trusts the other. And that is true in spades now. And the Democrats have pushed this thing so far. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't really like calling them Democrats anymore. They're basically communists.
Yes.
But I said in 2019, 4 years ago, that we had a new red terror that was being unleashed on the United States. And that certainly came to pass in the 2020 election, which was a coup d'etat. You know, the Democrats want to say the attempted coup d'etat was January the 6th. That was a reaction to the coup d'etat. The coup d'etat had taken place in November of 2020 with a cheated election. And again, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm an observer. And I tend to think that this whole thing on the part of the communists is a repeat of what happened 100 years ago in Tsarist Russia by the same people, the Jews.
Yes, yes.
To destroy another predominantly white country and to loot it. And that's what they're in the process of doing right now. And anybody who stands up to them, as long as they have the media, the Justice Department, the FBI, et cetera, is going to be called and treated like a domestic terrorist, a proponent of white supremacy, a white nationalist, a white supremacist. They've already started throwing those terms out there. And MAGA is going to learn that while they called us that first, us hard rightist, This term is now being used for you know, common garden variety conservatives who support MAGA. They are going to learn the hard way that they should have supported the folks in Charlottesville 6 years ago, us, because we told them they're coming for us right now, but they're going to be coming for you later. And lo and behold, they're coming for them right now. So, you know, that's where we stand. I've said this many, many times. I can see a civil war brewing in this country between the two sides, the leftist and the rightist, for lack of better terms. And as I said, there could be any kind of spark that set it off. But certainly the 2024 election looms large as a stumbling block that we will not get across as a unified country. For the reason I said a minute ago, neither side trusts each other. Neither side is going to accept the other's victory as legitimate. And when that happens, you cannot have a country. You simply cannot have one.
Oh, so true. And, you know, Dr. Hill, I may be revengeful, vindictive, or whatever, but you said something that really, really rung my bell, and that we have so many people. I know some. I lost friends like everybody did over Charlottesville. I went a big running group, and it's kind of got back together now with new runners. But people dropped me just because I was at Charlottesville. You know, and we have, and they called us racist, you know, homophobes, all the same monikers.
Yeah, don't forget anti-Semite. Don't forget anti-Semite now.
That's the number one. That's the number one. And a lot of these people that were supposed to be, like you said, good conservatives, they seem to hate us. And believe it or not, I'm getting to a point. They seem to hate us as much as the Antifa. And while I'm at it, Antifa, and I've heard a fellow say, and it's true, Antifa and the so-called federal government, they're one and the same. Like Sam Dix would have called it tyrannical anarchy. Anyway, they use these Antifa on the street as their goons, as their soldiers. But what's happening here, if I can get this point, a lot of these people, they were like good churchgoers, good Southern Baptists, good citizens. They called us racist and extreme. Now, like you said, Dr. Hill, now they're being persecuted. And I'd like to point out one in particular, and God may get me for this, that reminds me of Stuart Rhodes, a fellow named Lee Cochran and I. I've told this story several times on the air. Lee Cochran and I, bless his heart, he's now deceased. We were two of the founding members of the Oath Keepers in Shelby County, Tennessee. It didn't take them long to get us to infiltrate our organization. Me and Lee were in there less than a year. We were out. But Stuart Rhodes, and you know this better than I do, Dr. Hill, the head honcho of the Oath Keepers were down in New Orleans when you were there with the League of the South to try to stand up and support a lot of these so-called alt-right conservative people to try to keep our statues being torn down, to try to keep feces from being thrown of the graves of our beloved ancestors. Well, what did Stuart Rhodes do? Now, I wasn't there, but I've been told Stuart Rhodes and his almighty Oath Keepers, y'all had them behind you, and you had the blacks, the BLM, the Antifa in front of you. And they stood, the damn Oath Keepers stood with the communists and the radical feral animal blacks. So I may be punished for this saying this, Dr. Hill. Yeah.
I saw that. I saw it with my own eyes.
I thought you were there. That just burnt me up. You know, I'm so glad I don't have nothing about that has to do with Oath Keepers anymore. I think they're such Judas goat race haters. So I say this to Stuart Rhodes. Now, Stuart Rhodes, you were the good Jew lover. You had blacks. Blacks were your best friends. I mean, you were right next. I don't know what separated him from the Democrats. So I say this. Maybe Stuart Rhodes, you got what you deserve, son. Maybe now you'll wake up, and how many other thousands and thousands and thousands are Stuart Rhodes out there going to have their butt bit off, Dr. Hill, by the same people that come after us? And I'm going to tell you this, I don't know how you feel about it, but when they start screaming where their women are getting raped by these feral blacks, when they're getting their stores, their homes burned down, and they're screaming for help, I'm going to say, burn a house down for me, Black Lives Matter. To hell with those people that turned on us when we need them. I say to hell with them.
Well, listen,
do it.
Listen, Eddie, let me tell you what happened there in New Orleans. I'll be quick with it. We actually literally had to fight on both sides. We had Antifa and Black Lives Matter in front of us, and we were outnumbered about 12 to 1. And behind us, we had these Oath Keepers and other so-called Patriot militia types back there, you know, and we actually literally had to fight them. One of our guys went to jail for knocking one of them out cold. We had to get him out of jail the next morning. But anyhow, we had an enemy behind us and an enemy in front of us, and we thought the ones behind us were supposed to be kind of on our side, you know.
Yes.
But we saw the same thing the previous week in Pikeville, Kentucky.
The same thing.
It wasn't quite as bad as it was in New Orleans. So they were there, and they did absolutely nothing to help us out. They were just there saying, oh, we're just here to make sure everybody's rights are protected. Well, that's bullshit. And it was proven in New Orleans. They were against us. We had 75 league members out there. We had at least that many of the so-called Patriot militia behind us, and about 1,000 or more Black Lives Matter and Antifa in front of us. So we were actually in physical danger, and thank God the league people who were there were man enough to stand up and fight these people off and get ourselves out of there without any of our people being harmed. But it was a dangerous situation because there weren't that many cops on the scene, believe it or not. So we were pretty much left to our own devices. But yeah, I lost respect for the Patriot militia movement that day.
I did too. And where are they now? They've run to the high hill. They run for the tall grass with their tail between their legs. But I say good for them. And once again, if I go to prison or something, somebody would probably be saying the same thing about me. But I say, I wish Stuart Rhodes could listen. I'd like to ask him, was it worth licking the boots of the people that hate your guts? Was it worth siding, becoming a Judas goat, a race traitor, the worst of the worst? And I got to make this quick. I've used this analogy, Dr. Hill, many times. To me, there's nothing lower than a Judas goat race traitor that turns on his own race. To me, it's like this. This is an analogy. You have a bitch dog that has a big litter of puppies. And what she does, there's a litter of orphan rats next to her. So what she does, she bites her puppies in the throat and kills all her puppies and nurses the litter of rat pups. That's how I love, that's what I think of a race trading Judas goat wannabe white person, Dr. Hill. I have the most, there's nobody I have the more virulent hatred for. And they'll say, well, Christians aren't supposed to hate, but God hated Esau in the womb. And I know I'm rambling on, but that's the way I feel about that, Dr. Hill.
Certainly did. Well, somebody, I can't remember who it was, once said that if I had a revolver and it had two bullets in it, I mean, one bullet in it, and I had a traitor and an enemy in front of me, I'd shoot the traitor first. Or
yes.
I'd shoot the traitor with the one bullet I had. Absolutely, I would. I mean, a traitor will stab you in the back.
No doubt about it. One thing I've always admired, begrudgingly, but, and we've said this before, at least these feral animals, they might kill each other all day, at night, but, you know, in the daytime, they're going to stand. You'll never see a feral animal black. You'll never see two Jews stand against, you never see a Jew take a stand against another Jew to defend a white person. The same thing with a black. I'm 76 years old. I've never seen a black turn on another black in defense of a white, but I've seen that happen countless times with white people doing that. But Dr. Hill,
it'd make you think a lot of whites are stupid out there. Huh?
I mean, what you talked about. Well, Dr. Hill, thank you so much for coming on. You're just really an eloquent person. You're my favorite guest, Dr. Hill. Thank you so much, brother. You did a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, sir. Always my pleasure. Always
yes, sir.
My pleasure.
Well, people, hang on. We're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up. My big sister Nancy Hitt and my brother, the Alabama Lone Wolf, Rand Owens. Be right back, folks.